Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks very much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on Close Up Radio. A pleasure to have you with us today, as always. And also a pleasure to welcome Linda Finkel of Incedo to the show. Linda is an executive and leadership coach and the founder of Incedo, where she provides executive and business coaching and consulting. She works closely with C-suite level executives, business owners, and managers to overcome the communication challenges that stand in the way of leaders, making a bigger impact and improving overall performance. She believes that everything that works and everything that doesn't in our lives, both personally and professionally, always revolves around communication. Whether they run a company or work within a company, when the communication skills are refined, it creates a lasting ripple effect across the organization. Linda says she is often brought in because an organization is experiencing turnover or teams aren't working together. This internal conflict is stagnating growth. Linda says most of us don't realize the unintentional consequences of our behavior and what it communicates to other people. If she can help people see that many of the things we do unwittingly cause communication problems, we would have a whole lot of people who are happier and more joyful and more peaceful and less stressed. Now, everybody listening in the audience right now, raise your hand if that's what you would love to achieve. Be happier, more joyful, more peaceful, and less stressed. I think I see everybody's hand raised, including mine. There's enough in the world to be stressed about, and it shouldn't have to happen in the workplace. So Linda helps her clients understand how to manage their emotions during difficult conversations. Her value really is truly to be in service to others. She offers support and love, and that comes with being willing to tell, you know, her clients what they need to hear, not just what they want to hear, but what they really need to hear so they can make progress and move forward in a positive way in their lives. Speaking of live, she's live and direct from Rockville, Maryland, and it's a pleasure to have Linda with us here on the show. Welcome to the show, Linda. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you, Jim. I'm glad to be here.
I'm very happy to have you as our guest as well. It's a fascinating conversation that we have in store for the next 30 minutes for our audience tuned in around the world. Tell us a little bit about your own story. What are some of the things, you know, in your life's journey, Linda, that pointed you in the direction of doing this work that obviously is not just work you want to do, but you have to do, thus leading to the creation of Incedo?
So before I started doing this work 22 years ago, I had built and owned and managed an executive recruiting firm for 20-plus years. And during that time, several things happened. I got an inside peek at organizations and helping to actually build several organizations, virtually their whole team, which was really exciting. I got to see how unhappy people were in organizations for a variety of reasons. And on a personal level, we had a really successful company, and I was frickin' miserable. So we made a lot of money. I had more business than I knew what to do with, and I was unhappy all the time. And so I actually hired maybe about 4 years before I sold the business, a coach to help me. So I thought maybe I needed some new ideas or some fresher ways of thinking about things. And along the way, it became apparent that even though we made lots of changes in the business, what needed to change was not how I was running the business, but what I was doing that was going to bring me more joy and more excitement and more peace. And so that's how I got into this work, but it was a transition that caused me angst and fear and worry, but also many of the things, the skills that I used when I owned the recruiting firm that helped us be successful are exactly the same skills that I use today. So from a skill standpoint, it was an easy transition. The rest of it was terrifying, frankly. So that's how I got here.
Mm. And you got here, and that's the key. I mean, it's all part of life's journey and experiences. And you created Encino. Let's first talk about the name and the creation of it. And what was your initial vision for Encino?
So the name Encino is a Latin word, and it means to transform or inspire or march forward. So when I was was building the company, I wanted two things. I wanted a name I could trademark, which it is, and I also wanted something that even though 100% of the people I work with have no clue what it means, that it meant something to me, and it had some inspiration when I think of the name. Because the work that I do is meant to be, without being too woo-woo, transformational in the sense that helping people see things that they had never seen before or seen them in a different way or see them in a way that allows them to recognize that what they're doing or the way they're doing it isn't getting the results they want and what other options they have. So my whole goal was, honestly, to take everything that I had learned in all my years working and begin to help people recognize that what they could do to contribute to a happier, less stressful workplace, and also what they could do to contribute to a happier, less stressful person in the workplace. And so that was the inspiration, and that's still a lot of the work that I do.
That's amazing. That's really incredible. The passion that you have for it, obviously, you know, flows out of you. the thing about communication, of course, is that it makes everything so much easier if you can do it. It can save years of your life. But not everybody is exactly the smoothest or the most adept at communicating. They might be at doing the task at hand, but when it comes to communicating and relating and sharing, that isn't always the forte of some folks. So you work with people on helping to build those communication skills and those relationships and fostering that in a way that can be very productive and very effective for your clients, right?
Yeah. You know, I tell people all the time that when we grow up, we are taught how to talk, but we're never taught how to communicate. We're taught words, but we aren't we aren't told what those words may mean to somebody else or how they may be interpreted. We're not taught how to listen to clues that are going to give us indications about what somebody means. Big emotional words. So when a client says to me, I'm worried about, or I'm afraid of, or this really pisses me off, some big emotional word, those emotional words we too often just step over because we either assume we know what they mean or we just don't even hear them because we don't listen enough. We listen to hear so we can respond. We don't listen to understand. And so much of what I focus on is helping people understand how their communication skills, both verbal and nonverbal, have an impact on other people. And those messages that we use and to other people, but also we unwittingly communicate. So, for instance, I have one client that consistently walks in the office, doesn't say hello to people, walks past, 15 or 20 people, and doesn't really say good morning half the time. And so I say to him, what do you think they think? And he says, I think they think I'm busy. And I said, I bet they think they're not important. And he said, okay, let's go ask them. And I said, yeah, let's go. And so we went, and guess what? They all thought, they think that we're not as important as whatever he's getting ready to do or thinking about or whatever. And so it's those little things, right, that communicate to other people that we don't even pay attention to, or we make an assumption that it's okay or that they're thinking something's different than what it really says to other people. So, yeah, that's what I spend, 98% of my time on, is something, some way, shape, or form related to how we communicate.
That's perfect. Yeah. That's the bottom line. Communication is like the start of it all. And it's wonderful work that you do. I mean, often sometimes the other thing that can happen, as we know, Linda, we misuse when we should text message, when we should email, as opposed to picking up the phone and calling somebody and having a conversation. It's very different when you I use a quick reference here. I not that I'm long-winded, but being, a communicator, a broadcaster, somebody who likes to speak and communicate and converse, I've been accused of my emails and my texts being lengthy. But my thought is that I want to spell it all out. I want to answer all their questions before they even ask them. So when I do have that 4.5-second moment to be able to email or text or whatever it is, I've given them all the information, everything they need, and then they can digest it. And I'll send a text, either in response to something that is being asked or that I need to communicate. And I'll go through, great pains to make sure it's worded in an effective way and maybe even persuasive, whatever it is. Same thing with email. And then I'll get a response that will be the letter K, as in okay. And then I'll say, wait a minute, after the Gettysburg Address I just wrote, I don't even get the O in okay? So there is, or you'll get like yes or sure after you've just written this whole elaborate, Academy Awards acceptance speech. Tell us about the texting, the emailing. I'm very understanding too that there's nothing like being in person with somebody, across the table or right there, or picking up the phone. Texting and emailing, it can get tricky. All of it can get tricky, right?
Yeah. So, I'm an old broad, so I come from that school where long before texting became norm, even email was not the standard way of communicating. So everything was by phone or by, face-to-face. And I do think there's a purpose and a value for all forms of communication. I think, though, that we hide behind communication such as emails or texts instead of picking up the phone and having a conversation. I have people that I've had people that I know that were let go or terminated over text. Like, I can't even understand how somebody would think that that's remotely kind or professional or anything else. But I've had people had performance reviews done by text or email and never a conversation, or somebody screaming at them, via some kind of written communication about something they did wrong. I think that the purpose of, if you have a difficult conversation you're going to have with somebody, you need to share some news they don't want to hear, whatever that is, they deserve the courtesy of you picking up the phone or doing it face-to-face or a Zoom call or something else. If it's a quick, I need to change my appointment to 2:30, is that going to work for you? Text is perfectly fine. If it's, I closed the deal, boss, then I think hip, hip, hooray. But I think you're right. Even in emails this morning, you know, I was emailing somebody and I asked them three questions and I got an email back that said yes. And I'm like, yes what? I mean, yes to all three questions? Yes to the first one? So I literally had to email three times to get the answers to all three questions. So I think that we're in such a big hurry that we don't even read half of the email. And it's why there's all kinds of miscommunication, because we've missed content and we've hurried through and we miss key points, or we put so much into a text or an email that needs to be a conversation. And, oh, by the way, we assume when we push the button, email or text, that the other person receives it on the other end. And while that's true most of the time, there's no guarantee. I mean, my email was down for 2 days, about 2 weeks ago, and people finally called and said, you're not responding. And I said, to what? Right? So,
right. And now that you got me on the phone, let's talk.
Yes, that's exactly right. So there's circumstances that make sense. But we misuse it and overuse text and email, I think, and use it to avoid the conversations we don't want to have.
Yeah, there is a dryness to it. It is devoid of some feeling. And then also we've seen cases where, whether it's texting, emailing, or even commenting on social media, which is a whole other thing that's in the picture here.
Yeah,
you know, people sometimes miscommunicate, misinterpret what is being said or the intent or the feeling. I mean, sometimes it's devoid of the feeling. It's just these words and sometimes even in capitalization that can really be get people into trouble, and there's a lot of retraction that has to happen. Oh, that's not what I meant. And, you know, and when you are speaking to somebody either on the phone or you are, and you hear their voice, you hear the textures of the voice, or you are, you know, across the table at a diner chatting with them for lunch, totally different way of going about it than, you know, sometimes just the quick words said, because it doesn't have the feeling and doesn't have the human elements that can make a, you know, looking into somebody's eye. I mean, that alone speaks volumes, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think we've just taken all of that out of everything in our lives is so fast-paced, and we are busy people. I'm not suggesting that isn't the case. Every single person I work with is a super busy human being. And in that process, we forget that we're dealing with people. Underneath everything else, the work, whatever it is, these are people, and they deserve and earn and need to have a sense that we care about who they are, not just what they do. 'Cause who they are becomes really an indication of what we can expect of them. And we ignore the human element way too often, which is what causes team problems and turnover and all the other stuff that organizations consistently face on an ongoing basis.
Well, now you're having this mass exodus dealing with the pandemic and everybody working from home, and now a lot of people are reevaluating their lives and their jobs and saying, do I want to do this anymore? Do I want to just punch the clock, or do I want to just do that rote work, or am I being respected and valued, or am I just a number, you know, sitting in seat number 49? What do I want to do with the rest of my life that matters and means something and contributes to the overall society and to my own fulfillment? That whole thing is major right now, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, I used to find a lot that when people turned, I'm going to use 45 as the age, there's a whole bunch of people that look around and go, you know, I've been working for 20 or 25 years now, and, you know, is this really what I want to do? They went to college to be an accountant or whatever it was, or came out and decided to start working. But now I'm also noticing that in addition to that kind of mid-40s where there's this life evaluation point that lots of people seem to, you know, hit, is people are looking around and saying, well, I've been working at home. I can do this. I don't need to get dressed up anymore. I mean, I even noticed with my clients in Zoom calls, they've gone, you know, they're showing up in shorts and T-shirts, you know, from khakis and polo shirts. That's what they used to wear. We don't even see that anymore. And flip-flops, and I could care less. But the point is that people are stopping and saying, what really matters? Do I need to be in the office? Do these people really care about me? Half the time I never, you know, now that I'm at home, nobody even calls me. You know, if I was in the office, they'd walk past my door, but clearly I'm not important because nobody even reaches out to me now. So, and I think employers don't even recognize that it's even easier than before for people to go look for another job and interview for another job because they're not having to ask for time off during the day and getting dressed up and everything else, you know. So I think it's absolutely true. People are reassessing more than ever.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
So,
and it's a good thing to do. I mean, it's healthy to do it. As well, too, you know, in terms of feeling safe, anybody at work should definitely feel safe, and it should be a place for them to be allowed to be creative and use their imaginations. That really is our superpower, not just our ability to email one another and get the work done. Organizations that tap into the creativity and that listen. I know you specialize in, you know, executive leadership and things of that nature, and even leaders are understanding empathy, kindness, listening, getting everybody together and working it out, not just being up in the top floor of that ivory tower looking down at everything, but really being engaged and listening to all levels of an organization and what they have to say and what their participation is. And all of that is shifting in a very positive way, right? Which creates that safety and creates that respect and that appreciation that allows people to be creative and participate and be heard. And when they are, they're happier and then they are more productive and then, you know, profitability, all these other things follow.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I frequently say to people is, my belief is that there is no greater human need than to not only feel heard, but understood. And there's a big distinction. You can still hear me, but not understand because you're texting, you know, while we're talking, or you're thinking about the next meeting you're going to, or the fight you had with your significant other or one of your kids or whatever. And so you miss so much, you know, people around us miss so much of what's going on, and they miss the words, they miss the clues, they miss, you know, what people are trying to tell us. And we also aren't clear when we communicate either. So we don't walk into somebody's office and say, I don't really need you to fix anything. I'm just here to complain and whine and whatever. That's all I need from you. Or I'm struggling with this, and I need you to run interference. So leaders, too, want to go fix everything for people so because they feel that's their job, but also to kind of move the process along. And so part of this is helping people figure out what they need when they walk in and sit down and talk to you, and also listening so that we, if they don't know and they don't tell us, that we ask that question, what do you need from me? What would be most helpful at the end of this conversation? And people feeling like they were heard and understood and that their opinions matter, which doesn't mean that you take that opinion and run with it, but that they at least feel like somebody listened and heard what they said and allowed them to express themselves. And at all, you know, part of it's that hurry up, I need to always keep moving, or some of it's, you know, I've already made the decision, so it doesn't matter what you think, but I don't want to tell you I've already made the decision. And some of it's just, you know, human nature. because we've already decided what they're going to tell us and we quit listening and all kinds of, I could get on my soapbox, so I'll be careful here. So, you know, this is...
We'll have to have you back for part two.
This is such a big subject and so important because I think it impacts every single interaction we have with other human being in the world, but certainly in the workplace, you know, it's, and we just don't, we attribute turnover to, I hired the wrong people. I'm going to suggest that, I mean, that's possible, but the reason you hired the wrong people is because you weren't clear about what you needed and you didn't communicate that in the first place, or you didn't interview properly, or maybe you had bad leaders. I mean, so we often treat symptoms in the organization instead of really identifying the root problem, which in my humble opinion is always around communication.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Tone and all of it. I agree 100%.
Yeah.
We only have a few minutes left. Boy, this is such a great conversation. Hopefully we can chat some more. Tell us about one of your clients that you've been able to help and maybe what their challenge was and how through your guidance and support and wisdom and technique you were able to get them from point A to point B.
So I'm working with a client currently that last fall had reached out and said, we have communication problems, our teams aren't working well together, people are fighting all the time. And so the very first thing they asked me to do was they made a list of 35 or 40 people in the company they wanted me to interview. So it took me a couple months, but I went through the whole process. And one of the executives said to me, almost out of his mouth when I first sat down with him, is, this is a waste of your time and their money because they're never going to change. Nothing's ever going to change. And I said, okay, but I'm here and I'm up for the challenge. So after the interview process, I communicated with the owners the themes that I was hearing. And there was lots of them and lots of good information from different groups within the organization. So what the same executive that said to me, you're wasting your time and they're wasting their money, as recently as 2 weeks ago, said in a group with other executives, I was wrong. There's been lots of changes, and I'm blown away that they've made the changes. But the changes have been, they're much more conscious of their communication skills, much more conscious, and little things that I've taught not just the owners but other people, like instead of just walking in somebody's office and talking, you know, what if you walked in and say, did I catch you at a bad time? I need 5 minutes. But if you only need 5 minutes, don't take 15. So in the past year or so, roughly 10 months, what we've noticed is the tension is way down. People are happier, and other people are noticing. They're saying to me, I'm noticing so-and-so so much happier and so much later, and when they're in the office, this is what I'm noticing. The teams that I've been working with, two different teams, are now actually working together, and they did not want me work. I mean, flat out told me the first day I sat down that this was a waste and they didn't want to work with me, and I said, okay, you know, but you don't have any choice. So we're going to trudge through this. So all of these, and they happen to all be men, but they're all talking to each other. We get into the room and we work through problems. We work through differences of opinion. We have put in a process that allows everybody to feel heard without, you know, yelling at each other. And now we're moving on to sort of a next level of putting some different structure in place within the organization, redoing not the whole org chart, but some of that and some other things. You know, as we started this conversation, it was about reducing stress and people are happier and become more productive. And that's what I would say has happened there in a reasonably short period of time.
Short period of time. In incedogroup.com, I-N-C-E-D-O, and the word group.com is the website, incedogroup.com. 10 seconds left. I can't believe this, Linda. Went by in a New York minute, but I hope we get a chance to explore some more and chat together on Close Up Radio. It was a real pleasure.
Thank you. Real pleasure being here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you are very welcome. Keep up the amazing work that you're doing, and I'm sure we'll chat again some more. Again, folks, Linda Finkel of Incedo is our very special guest. She is a renowned executive and leadership coach and the founder of Incedo, where she provides executive and business coaching and consulting, and she works closely with C-suite level executives, business owners, managers, to overcome the communication challenges, some of which we outlined during this episode. Those are the things that oftentimes stand in the way of leaders making a bigger impact and improving overall performance. If you'd like to learn more, the website, again, is incedogroup.com. That's I-N-C-E-D-O, and then the word group.com. This episode is recorded fully in its entirety, so you can hear it in full and share it with others you think would benefit from this conversation. We thank Linda, and we thank all of you for joining us on this episode of Close Up Radio. I'm your host, Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, stay tuned. We will be back momentarily with another amazing guest right here for you on Close Up Radio. Till then, for all of us, have a terrific day, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.